Numbers 21. I remember when I first got saved and started reading the Bible, it just come alive. A light came on, and I started. Of course, I'd never owned the Bible until then, but a light came on, and I started reading this stuff. And I'd ask Christians, I'd say, "Have you ever seen this?" And they'd look at me and they'd say, "Yeah." I said, "You knew that was in there?" "Yeah." I said, "You didn't tell me that this was in here?" "Well, I thought everybody knew that." That's a shame and disgrace. Hey, I want to remind you, everybody doesn't know that. Everybody doesn't know. Most people know very little about the Bible, even those that claim they believe the Bible. There's such a famine, a drought in our land for Bible teaching. Really, there's a drought. And people are starving. The Bible says they're perished for lack of knowledge. And I blame that on the pulpits of America. Numbers 21, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with this. If you're not, I hope you get excited as I did the first time I read it. Let's start with verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. That means it was tough. And the people spake against God and against Moses. "Wherefore have you brought us up out of the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. Fiery means poisonous. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld a serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward. Now, a little history here, maybe to catch you up. The children of Israel are wandering in the wilderness. They've already refused to go into the promised land. They came to Kadesh, Mount Kadesh in Barnea, and sent the spies in. The spies came back. 10 had a good report. 2 did not. I mean, 2 had a good report. 10 did not. And so God told Moses, since they refused to believe me, not one of these people, this whole generation will die and will not enter the promised land. But their children will. The next generation will. So this children's wandering in the wilderness, around in a big circle, wandering around. And they're never very far from the promised land. But God won't let them go in. If you go back and read just a few chapters, they had gotten close to the promised land. They gotten in a battle, and they had won. Then they got in another battle. They lost. God would not allow them to go into the promised land. So, of course, being Baptist, you know they were Baptists. They complained all the time. They did. They complained about the manna, so God sent them quail. Quails up to their waist, so many came. And they ate quail, the Bible said, until it came out their nostrils. And they boiled it in pots until it made them sick, eating quail. God sent them bread from heaven, manna, bread from heaven. Angel bread is what that means, manna. They called it light bread because you go out in the morning, you pick up little pieces, little coriander seed looking things, little white pieces. I call it grits. And they get it and they put it together and they make cakes out of it and bake it and they'd eat it. And they live for years just on light bread. Now you couldn't do that. You'd die if all you ate was light bread. You would. You got to have protein. You got to have a little bit of sugar. You got to have a little bit of carbohydrates. But angel food had everything in it that they needed. And God just kept on feeding them. Now, but they wasn't happy. So now, here they are, they're wandering, and they've gotten a couple battles, and they battled with the Canaanites, and now they're griping again. Verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. In other words, it got hard, and they got discouraged. And can you imagine, they heard the command, you'll never go into the promised land. I'm not letting you go. There's only two of you going, Joshua and Caleb. The rest of you is going to die out here in the wilderness because you disobeyed me and you did what I told you not to do and you weren't appreciative of what I did for you, so you can just wander out here. You didn't trust me to take the land for you, so now I'm not going to let you take it. You say, well, that was me. No, that was God.
Amen.
And so now, verse 5, they got discouraged, and then verse 5, the people spake against God. They began to talk bad about God and Moses, his servant. And they even went to Moses and said, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt? Now, you remember Egypt was a wonderful place. It had leeks and garlic, and it had onions, and it had melons, and it had meat. And it had, and so many times they kept bringing this up, but they forgot they were slaves, and they forgot they were beaten with whips. And they forgot that their babies was cast into the, was killed as the boy baby. As soon as they was born, he started killing their boy baby. Let me tell you something. People forget the bad times too quickly. And they left Egypt, and now they're out there longing for Egypt. Well, Egypt had to make bricks all day long in the hot sun and get whipped while you're doing that. And look down on them. At least out here, they ain't even working for their food. God's supplying all their needs, and they're just walking. So God got mad. And they said, you brought us up here in the wilderness to die, for there's no bread, neither is there any water. Well, he brought them water out of a rock.
Amen.
Told Moses, said, speak to the rock, and water will come out. Well, Moses, you know, he was a Baptist preacher. He got mad, and he hit the rock, and he hollered at them, and so he disobeyed God. So no water. And they said, our soul loatheth this light bread. That means they hate it so much it makes them sick. Now that light bread they're talking about is manna, angel food.
Yes.
Got everything you need to live in it.
Yes.
It came straight from heaven. Fell down out of heaven. And they loathed it. Well, they forgot how bad it was in Egypt.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. When I was growing up, you could say you didn't like something that was set before you. That's fine if you didn't like it. But wasn't nobody going to go buy you nothing at McDonald's just because you didn't like pinto beans? And sometimes I'd look at those beans, I'd say, and I, of course, I wasn't as sophisticated as I am now. I would, if I had been, I would have said, I loathe these pinto beans. It's beans every day. It's beans and taters every day. I loathe it. I said, when I get married, I'm not eating that. You can ask my wife. After we got married, I wanted to eat meat. I mean, I wanted meat for every meal until I found out we couldn't afford it. Now I like beans. I thank God for beans. I used to loathe turnip greens. You listening? If you go long enough without something to eat, you'll eat turnip greens. Cook them in grease and fat back. You'll eat them. Get that fat back. Take a bite. Take your bite of greens. Amen. But they said, we loathe this angel food. Now, God sent fiery serpents. And what that means is they just came out of nowhere. Poisonous snakes. And listen, they were everywhere. They were in the tents. They were on the ground. They were everywhere they went. And they were being bitten. And they were being, and people were dying. And people were suffering. And so now they go back to the Moses that they don't like and they despise. And they say, Moses, pray for us that God will remove these serpents before we all die. So Moses, being the good pastor that he was, even though they talked bad about him, he went back and he asked the Lord, and the Lord said, all right, I want you to make a serpent just like that. I want you to make a poisonous snake out of brass that looks just like that snake. And I want you to put it on a pole. And I want you to stick it up in the middle of all. By the way, there's two or three million people now. It ain't like they had TV or anything. You know, two or three. You had to get close to it to see it. But 2 or 3 million people dying. And they make that. And Abram runs out there and puts that thing into the ground. And then the other snake starts slithering off. And everybody that looks at that serpent lives. Those who refuse to look, they don't believe what God said, they don't trust what Moses said, they die. Y'all get the picture?
Yeah.
Now, that's a type of Jesus Christ. That fiery serpent is a type of Jesus Christ. And I told you before, Hebrews 10:1 says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. The Old Testament is full of types and shadows of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And I told you about Adam and Eve and the old serpent there in the garden, you know. And told you about the animal that had to be sacrificed. That was a type of Christ so that they could be forgiven and clothed, you know. And as we go through the Old Testament, we'll see these things. I told you last week about the Passover lamb. And how the Passover lamb had to be slaughtered and the blood put on the doorpost like that, like a cross. And he said, when the death angel sees the blood, he'll pass over your house. And we talked about that, how we won't have to face the judgment of God because we've had the blood of Christ applied to us spiritually. Marksville, 1978, I asked him to save me. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7 says if we walk in the light as he's in the light, the Word of God, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That's a continual cleansing. And so all through the Old Testament, there's shadows, there's types that look like Christ, events, ceremonies, sacrifices, even in this, a serpent. Now, this serpent being lifted up, just think about this. People are dying. They're dying everywhere. And they look to this serpent on a pole, no matter where they are, or no matter who they are, no matter how old they are, no matter how long they've been bit, they may have just gotten bitten. One may be bitten a long time. He's on death's door. No matter who it is, what they've done, where they came from, how old they are, if they'll just look up there by faith thinking, God said, if I look at that, I'll be healed. And by faith, they were healed immediately. Now, is that not like the cross of Christ? They nailed him to the cross, and he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And now whoever looks to him lives. The Bible says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised and ashamed, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we look to him. Amen. Many times before Jesus was crucified, he'd tell people to look at him. And by faith, if we look at his finished work on that cross, it's finished.
Yeah.
And by faith, we say, Lord, nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross I cling.
Yes.
And we put all our faith and all our trust that he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's the same way they looked at that serpent. Now let me tell you a couple of things about that serpent. Number one, it's made out of brass. You know what brass in the Old Testament always represents? Judgment. Because it was a mixed metal, and they had to take a hammer and beat it, put it through the fire, heat it up, and take a hammer and beat it in order to get it in the shape they needed it to get in. And that's just like the judgment of God, his condemnation, his judgment, and his judgment is hard like that brass. I don't want his judgment. I want his mercy.
Amen.
Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I'm no longer under his judgment. I'm now in Christ. Okay? Now, a lot of these people complain. They complained about the food. You know, a lot of people complain about the food, their spiritual food today. That old devil, the tempter, tempted Jesus there in the wilderness during his temptation. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And people, did you know some people complain about that? Sometimes people leave here and they say, "The preacher had too many scriptures in his sermon." What? What? If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, how can you have too many scriptures in your sermon? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And but people will do that because they watch these little preacherettes on TV who will quote them a half of a verse about that long, and then he'll run around his high-top tennis shoes for about 30 minutes telling some sad story about a dog or a little girl, and at the end give you an invitation to be saved, and you don't even know what saved is because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and he hadn't given anybody enough the Word of God to be saved. But then when you do, some people complain about too much Scripture. A lot of people complain about the preaching of the world. I just don't know why he has to preach like that. Well, the Bible says that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. I got saved because somebody preached to me. You got saved because somebody preached to you. I've been witnessing to people sometimes, especially older people when I was young, and they'd say, "Boy, don't start preaching at me." And I'd say, "I'm not preaching." But I really was. Because if you're sharing the scriptures talking about Jesus, you're preaching. Now, these serpents had a deadly poison, and a lot of them died. Well, did you know we got a deadly poison in our world? Every one of us is exposed to a deadly poison. John 8:44, Jesus told them, said, "You're of your father. Your father's the devil. He's the father of lies." That's the poison right there. He deceives people. He come to steal and to kill and to destroy, and he deceives people and he tells them lies, and they get infected by those lies and those lies. And by the way, there's never been a worse time for it than there is right now. You know, when I was growing up, 90% of the people at least claimed to be Christian. And they went to church. I was in the minority. Probably about 10% of us didn't. We didn't know anything about the Bible. We'd been told lies. You know, the Bible's written by men, and the Bible's fake, you know, and the Bible's full of fairy tales and all that stuff. But we didn't know anything about the Bible, and the people telling us didn't know anything about the Bible. It was just lies that the devil had put into us. And because, see, if the devil can infect you with his lies that there is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no sin, there is no salvation, then therefore you're going to be on the short trail to death. And you'll never have eternal life. And these people were infected by these serpents, and the old serpent, that old serpent, the devil, the Bible calls him the serpent, he'll lie to you. He lies to Christians. He's lied to me before. He's lied to you. He'll whisper that stuff in your ear. It may be, hey, he might use somebody to lie to you. That's why I tell young people, you better be careful what you listen to. We've all been deceived. If you're over 12 years old, you'd say amen. We've all been lied to, and we've all been deceived. Well, he's the father of lies. In the very end, his lies will kill you and take you to an eternal death. And we've all been bitten by those lies. Our homes been bitten by lies. Amen.
Yeah.
Our society's been bitten by these fiery serpents called the devil. It's sad. Now, growing up, I was not a Christian, but I lived in a Christian society. So therefore, I had to curb a lot of things that I would have done that I shouldn't have done simply because the society we lived in didn't allow it and would have looked down on it. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
I mean, there's some things that the people I hung around with, we drew lines, we wouldn't cross them because we knew if we crossed them and got caught, we'd be in big trouble because of the society that we then lived in.
Yeah.
But now it's turned around.
Right.
And old Satan's lied to our society. What was good is now bad, and what was bad is now good. Amen. What was love is now called hate. And what's hate they now call love. Amen. The old devil's bitten. And we have to be careful. We got to be real careful. I have to. I read a lot. I study a lot. But every once in a while I'll run up on something. I'll be reading about the Bible. Never the Bible, because I'm only going to use the right Bible. But sometimes I'll be reading something about the Bible and I say, now that don't sound just right. There's something wrong with that. Then I get my Bible, start studying the Bible, and I say, well, that's a lie by religious people. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Now listen, that brazen serpent was put up on a pole. Now why did he tell him to do that? Because that brazen serpent on that pole represented what was killing them. The snake was what was killing them. And God told Moses, you make one just like the thing that's killing them and that'll heal them. What? Can you imagine what that guy thought with his little girl laying on the bed dying from snake bite? And they say, Moses said, if you look at that brazen serpent on that pole, it'll heal her because it's the same thing that made her sick. And he said, what? And then we say, Jesus took our sins upon him. The Bible says he was hung on a tree in John chapter 3. Turn over to John chapter 3. Let me show you. Here's what Jesus did in John chapter 3. Most of you already know this. Look at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, there it is, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? Well, just like in Numbers. That whosoever believeth in him, you look to him, believeth in him, look to him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. You see that? Now, that's because, he said that because that snake represented the sin that was killing those people. And the Bible says he became sin for us on that cross. If the way that, answer this, class, help me, there ain't many of us. You answer this. If the wages of sin is death, what was killing Jesus on the cross? Sin. Because the Bible says, Isaiah said, he laid on him the iniquity of us all. He became sin for us. So as they whipped him, that was God's punishment that you ought have gotten. Put on him. When they put the crown of thorns on his head and smashed it in, that was the pain we should have gotten because it was our sin laid on him. Whenever they mocked him, that was shame we should have gotten, but God laid it on him in our place. And then when they nailed him to the tree, the wage of sin is death, and the Bible says, cursed is the man that hangeth on a tree. They put him on the tree, just like that serpent. He was taking on our sin and dying in our place.
Yes.
Now, the only way to be healed in that wilderness was look to the thing that was killing him. And the only way we can be healed of our sins and have fellowship with God and get right with God and remove that partition between us and God is to look to him as sin for us. God laid on him our sin. So when you look at Jesus on the cross, you don't look at a beautiful man. You look at the results of sin and you say, sin is all over him because God laid on him my sin. You know, 70 years later, if you go ahead and read Numbers, 70 years later, the prophet then had to make the children of Israel stop worshiping this serpent on the pole. Moses died. Now they had a prophet. I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but as they went through the wilderness. Well, maybe it was Moses. I get my times mixed up. But as they kept traveling through that wilderness, they kept putting up that pole everywhere they went.
Right.
And pretty soon, the snake on the pole became an idol. And God told them, said, take that thing down, grind it up, because you're worshiping what was killing you. And I talk to people sometimes, and they don't even know typology. They don't know that thing about the snake. They don't even know that our sins was laid on Jesus. They don't even know that that cursed is the man that hangeth on a tree. But they have a cross hanging around their neck, or they have one on a wall with an altar on it, and they go to, and they worship that cross. Some of them still have Jesus on it. By the way, what good is a dead Savior hanging on a cross? Mine rose from the dead grave third day. Mine's alive and well, sitting on the right hand of the Father. He ain't hanging on no cross or laying in a grave. But they, some people will worship the shadow or the type that that represents instead of worshiping the one that did the work that the type and the shadow represents. And they'll make an idol out of a cross. They'll make an idol out of a crucifix. And you know what it becomes? A good luck charm.
Amen.
That's all it is. It's just a good luck charm.
Yep.
And they'll kiss it, and they'll hold on to it, you know, and all this stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Jesus.
Amen.
I have a personal relationship with Him. I walk with Him and talk with Him every day. He's my friend. He's my Savior.
Amen.
But whenever I looked to Him on the cross and saw my sins on Him, I didn't want to worship my sins. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Amen. Now, He got up out of that grave third day. The snake represented His, that death represented that sin, and He became sin for us. But listen to this. In that camp, there was only one brazen serpent. Only one. And all the millions of people, they had to come to that one. Didn't matter if you're the head of the tribe or the grandmother, the grandma, grandpa. Everybody had to come to that one brazen serpent to be healed.
Right.
He didn't say put them up all over the camp. He didn't say put a brazen serpent over here and put a brazen worm over there and put a brazen rat over there. There was one brazen serpent. There was one way to be healed. That was it. Now, that tells me there's only one salvation.
Yes.
Acts 4:12 says, there is none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. There's only one Savior.
Right.
There's only one door. Jesus said, I'm the door. There's only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way. Jesus said, I'm the gate to the sheepfold. Jesus said, I'm the veil. There's only one. There's one Savior. There's not 100 Saviors. Used to be a guy, he's dead now, proved he wasn't. But he said he was a Savior. You have to be old remembering. Young Sung Moon. Anybody remember the Moonies?
Yes.
They'd sit on the corner and sell flowers.
Yes.
He was from Korea. He claimed to be the new Savior. You remember that? People would join that cult, turn over all their money, their clothes, jewelry, everything, turn it over to the church. He owned two big old skyscrapers in New York City. Once a year he'd have mass marriages. People never met each other. They'd meet at Yankee Stadium, and he'd have thousands of people get married in one ceremony, and he'd conduct the ceremony, and you'd meet your wife there that day, or you'd meet your husband that day, and here's why he did it. Those others were from other countries and they needed to be citizens here, so he put them with an American and married them. Here's what he said. Young Sung Moon said, Adam was a Savior. He didn't finish his work. So Noah was a Savior. He didn't finish his work. Abraham was a Savior. He didn't finish his work. Moses was a Savior. He didn't finish his work. Jesus Christ was a Savior. I come to finish his work. I'm the Savior. Now Jesus said, if you follow him, you have eternal life. Young Sung Moon said, follow me, you'll have eternal life. Well, I don't see how that could happen since he's dead.
That's right.
There's only one way. There was one way to be healed that day. It didn't matter how much money you had or you didn't have. One way. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You say, preacher, that offends me. Take it up with him.
Yeah.
Well, preacher, that's bigoted. Might be. Well, preacher, that's narrow-minded. He said it was. He said, wide's the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein, but narrow is the way, and straight is the way that leads unto eternal life, and few there be that find it.
Yes.
Now, you watch TV preaching, and Oprah, and Helen, and all these other reprobates, and you'll think everybody's going to heaven. Then Jesus died for nothing. And if that's true, then heaven won't be heaven long. A lot of these people will turn it into hell, just like they had have this world.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You say, I thought he's a benevolent, loving God. He is. He says, whosoever will, let him come after me. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He sends out the call, but you're going to have to come. The Israelites responded in obedience. They looked to that brazen serpent and they were healed immediately.
Yes.
Didn't have to go to class. Didn't have to get confirmed. Didn't have to study nothing. All they had to do was be obedient by believing what God said. They were healed because they had faith that there was a pole with a serpent on it, because by faith, I know they believed because they looked up. We sang that song, Look and Live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One way, one Savior. He said, anybody comes any other way is a thief and a liar. They were sin sick caused by the old serpent. But God, thank God, Jesus became our sin for us so we could be healed. You know, look at his death on that tree. But don't stop there. Look at the resurrection from the grave where he proved on the cross. He said, the work's finished. He walked out of the grave. He said, I am. That meant he's God. Now, we're healed of our deadly disease. Romans 6:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brother, when's your birthday? Didn't you just have a birthday? Okay. In December, I come to you and I got this real pretty package. And it's all dressed up and got all kind of bows on it, kind of heavy. And I bring it to you and I say, Brother Ed, I want to give you something for your birthday. I love you. And I hold it out. What would you do? I tell you what you wouldn't do. You wouldn't say, Pastor, let me pay you for that. You wouldn't say, Pastor, I'm not worthy of that. You wouldn't say, Pastor, I'm going to work to pay you back. You'd reach out there and snatch that thing out of my hand so fast make my head spin. It's the same way with eternal life, salvation. God comes to you and he says, I got something I want to give to you. It's free. is called eternal life. It's wrapped up in this beautiful package called Jesus Christ. All you got to do is receive it. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Just reach out and take it. March 5th, 1978, I didn't know what all that meant. I just knew I was a sinner. I was sin sick. I was sick of sin. And I needed a Savior. And I come out and I started coming down that aisle and crying and weeping. And I didn't know anything about church. And I didn't know anything about a hymn book. And I didn't know anything about the Bible. But I knew if there was a God in heaven, I was going to hell. If God was just, I knew I did not deserve to go to heaven. And I went down there and they took me through a couple of scriptures. And they taught me how to pray. And I said, dear Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know I ought to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. But you said if I'd call on you, you'd save me. And I'm asking you to save me. And right then, I was healed.
Praise the Lord.
Now, every once in a while, the old devil. I don't get the flu when I take the flu shot. I used to get the flu at least once, sometimes twice a year. I take the flu shot, I don't get the flu. But every once in a while, I get a cold, and I think, is this the flu coming on me? Now, I can't be lost anymore, but every once in a while, the old devil will throw something on me.
Yes.
And I'll think, I'm not lost, but where's this stuff coming from?
Yes.
Well, it's sin. It's that old fiery serpent jumping on me again,
yes,
trying to kill me, but the worst thing to do is make me sick.
Yes.
Because my name's already written down in heaven.
Amen.
I got a reservation. It can't be changed. Amen? Now, that's what that brazen serpent, Jesus said that he had to be lifted up like the brazen serpent there in the wilderness with Moses. Because he meant whoever looked at that serpent was healed, and whoever would look at him when he was raised up would be healed of sin. I'm healed. You didn't have to go down there and tell any of them that was about to die, are you sure you're healed? Don't you want to go to the doctor and get this checked out and make sure you're healed? No, I'm healed. I don't have to go to confirmation or reformation or any other kind of mation. I got the information. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you.